We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of Netlandia. We are back with O'Reilly Radio Show 130, recorded Friday, October 28th, 2016, where we're going to dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversation that ought to make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, and I've got my usual suspects. I've got Stephen Griffith, and just over there, I've got David O'Connor. Welcome, gentlemen.
Great to be here.
Welcome back, yeah. For those of you that are not watching live, well, why aren't you watching live? You certainly should be. We're streaming out to Facebook and also to our Twitch channel. You can reach the Twitch stream directly from our website, and you can chat with us directly from there at oreillyradio.com, just like Mama Van has. Hey, welcome, Mama Van. Thank you very much for joining us as well. Okay, so tonight this is our this is show A. This is our potpourri segment, and well, some things have been have really kind of crossed our bows, as you were. I'm jumping ahead. First, audience feedback from previous shows, we don't have any. That's probably why I skipped it. But, you know, if we do make mistakes, like that one right there. So, if you find one, not that one, because I already found it, but if you find another one, please pause the podcast, do whatever you need to do. Send us a note, oreillyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Or phone it in. We've got a phone number, 470-222-6759. That'll get to us, and we'll also take your text messages at that number as well. Okay. Last week, we did have some new blood. We had Amber Besecker, and she is planning on joining us again, I believe, alternate Fridays. So you'll get to see her next time, just not this time. So, oh, and we also have McGriffin. Who's McGriffin?
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Never mind then.
That's me.
Never mind.
Gamer tag.
Oh, okay. You know. Gotcha. Gamer tags. Yes. Okay. Arr. Before we continue to get started, you might have noticed that I sound a little bit more baritone, more bassy.
That's baritone, as in B-E-A-R, baritone.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm tired, and I'm sick, and I've got some great cough syrup in me. You know, the stuff with codeine. So. I may be a little bit loopy as the show progresses on, for your edutainment, certainly. So we'll do what
as
we
long
can.
As you don't start doing shots of it on air, I don't think we will be a problem.
I'm going to do those off air. Definitely off air. Unless you're watching live, in which case you might catch me doing it anyway. So no harm, no foul, right? Okay. So, all right. Into the show itself. There's been a bit of a kerfuffle going on with Russia. They've been in the news lately. There's two items that, well, three, but I couldn't find the link right away. Russia was voted off the UN Human Rights Council. That was amid
weird
amid mounting allegations of Syrian war crimes.
What?
I know, shocking, right? Additionally, they we'll get to this later also in the bad news, but I just wanted to point it out here since we're talking about Russia. They're also rebuilding their nuclear arsenal. So their current birds are the RS-28 SAMRAT missile, which can travel at 4.3 miles per second and deliver a 40 megaton blast. NATO called the missile the Satan II. The weapon contains the power to destroy an area about the size of France.
Yeah.
So, good times there. The Russian Defense Ministry wants to put the SAMRAT, or Satan II, into service by late 2018 and remove the last of the old SS-18 missiles by 2020. So you can find those in show notes for 130E bad ideas. I think you know why. Also, they've been mobilizing their fleet, in addition to what they're doing with Syria to, you know, bring a little bit of Russia to Syria, you know, in the form of their one of their ancient Cold War aircraft carriers. I hesitate to call it an aircraft carrier anymore because it actually has to launch with an ocean-going tugboat in case it breaks down. Yeah. So
it's, well, it carries aircraft. It just doesn't necessarily move much itself.
Yeah, it's just it may not get there. And apparently they were denied refueling permits in, I think, Greece when they were going through the Mediterranean. So, yeah, they're Russia needs a Trump to make Russia great again, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just export him.
No, they got to have somebody who can fly off the handle and actually start a war without thinking it through.
Oh, and that's
the only way to really mobilize the people.
And that's not Putin?
Well, Putin can't do it on his own and still appear to be the good guy.
Mm. Okay.
But America can be the bad guy.
In many cases, America is the bad guy, so that's not a bit of a surprise. The UN General Assembly, which is has 193 members, elected 14 members to the 47-nation council, the UN's main body charged with promoting and protecting human rights. So that would be the Human Rights Council itself. There's some other interesting nations in that list. Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, China, Brazil, Rwanda, Hungary, Croatia, Cuba, South Africa, Japan, Tunisia, the U.S., and the U.K. Now, many of those nations, say Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, and China, and Rwanda, and, well, okay, there's a lot of those nations that perhaps shouldn't be on the Human Rights Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
In fact, in many cases, maybe the United States shouldn't be on that list either.
Probably not. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't. We've bombed far too many children, I think. So, Guatemala was the only country running for a seat besides Russia to not be elected, which I find also interesting. But yeah.
So then that means that the countries that are on it are pretty much the only ones who wanted to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah. Yeah. When you put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that that Putin might get his panties in a twist about this whole thing and, you know, use this as yet another stump into war. But I'm on
certainly been angling,
so I don't know. Go ahead, David.
I just said he certainly seems to be angling for that. Yeah.
Yeah, Mama Van.
Not going to be good.
Mama Van is pointing out that that add the goings on the Dakota pipeline to the list of reasons the USA should not be on the list. And well, yeah, North Dakota's not making us look very good.
No, we're not making ourselves look very good.
Well, it's
North Dakota just happens to be where it's happening, but
yeah, well,
there's been a series of police shootings of unarmed civilians
and horses. Yeah. And there was a buffalo. Was it buffalo?
Yeah, it was a buffalo stampede, actually, out near Standing Rock. And again, buffaloes are sacred when it comes to Native American, you know, mythology, all that kind of stuff. So yeah. They've been praying to the buffalo to come and help show them and give them strength in this time of their need. And by God, they just suddenly showed up cresting a hill.
Well, actually, they were being herded in for an annual inspection of their ranks, where they were going to be immunized and tagged and released back.
Still hilarious.
It is hilarious, but, you know, sadly, not quite like that. And yes, we're definitely going to hit the Bundys. And how those idiots with the, we're gonna talk about that. But not yet.
We'll just save all of that ammunition for one dump.
That's a whole segment. There's nothing
else in that bag on that.
That's going to be in Law and Order. So look for episode C for that one. Okay. So, and Steven, you found one for our little potpourri roundup here. What do you got here?
This is very, I've been following things that are occurring. Yeah. In the Southeast Asia, it's an Asian area where, again, people may not be aware of this, of what's going on and the craziness that's happening out there. But this has been happening for now quite a while. Recently, within the last year or so, this man named Rodrigo Duterte got elected to be president of the Philippines. He is a massive, massive right-wing hardliner. Very nationalistic. And essentially imagine Trump, but with a higher speaking level and probably the brains to actually pull off what he's trying to do.
Okay.
Because one of the things he came into power on was the idea of, you know, bringing down crime in the country and bringing down drug usage in the country. By doing this, he has decided, one of the policies he's decided to pursue is that of fighting a drug war. I don't mean this by, like, the U.S.'s thing of we're going to help people get off drugs, we're going to help them, you know, needle exchanges, therapy programs, rehabilitation. No, Duterte literally has given sanction to death squads to wander the streets. And over, you know, the report there says around 1,100. I've seen reports saying upwards of over 3,000 people have just been executed by these people for possession and or selling of drugs. Just straight out killing. No trial. No arrest, just, nope, sorry, bang, done.
Yeah.
Now, there's been an advantage of this is drug use has gone way down in the country.
Yeah, I imagine.
But I think all of us can go, you know what, just state-sanctioned murder of your own citizens, probably not the best policy. That was one of the first things he started with that. One of those recent things that came up in the last few days.
Wow.
Yeah, that was his opener, was that policy, which that is, by the way, that policy has not stopped. That policy is still ongoing. People are still just being executed.
Nice.
Most recently, he was at a meeting in Japan, I believe, where he laid out some more plans that he wants to do for the Philippines, which includes having absolutely no foreign troops there and telling the U.S., I want all of your troops and bases and all your ships gone within 2 years. And he's willing to yank base rights in order to have this accomplished.
Hmm.
So telling all of us, all foreign troops, to GTFO. He's also said that he's willing and possibly pursuing breaking economic ties with the United States, is actively and openly courting both Russia and China for economic trade and all of that. And it's just, I'm watching this happen and my jaw is hitting the floor. And I am partly amazed at the fact that this guy is seemingly being able to pull this off. But two,
what really gets me is human rights violations.
Oh God. Yeah. what gets me also is this, you hear a lot of people, you know, speaking about Syria, speaking about things in the Middle East, you always hear, ever since basically the Iraq and Afghanistan wars have occurred, you've heard murmurings about the idea of, oh, look out, the specter of World War III.
Mm.
Where I don't really want to bring up the, you know, be the doomsayer here. But
that's my job.
But I've looked at, it is your you know, job. From an intelligence perspective. Yeah. From the intelligence perspective, from the perspective of looking at, you know, what I've read in some military journals and military documents, intelligence documents and everything else. If at this point it's not, if World War III is going to start in the next 10 years, it is not going to start in the Middle East. It is going to start here in that area of the world. Because everybody, I think, can remember the whole China, which hasn't stopped yet, is still claiming and building islands in the middle of the South China Sea and lower.
Yeah.
Some of those are territorial waters claimed by the Philippines. We remember the picture of those brave Filipino sailors on a beached boat, you know, bravely holding out because that way they can close their territory.
Yeah.
Here's how I see possibility of this going down. Is you've got people, you've got Duterte openly siding with Russia, openly siding with China, especially with the Chinese angle here. And okay, cool. They get into an agreement. Yay. China can have those islands or, you know, and pay either rent them or pay for them, whatever. But then that might also push China into going, okay, let's keep, you know, keep doing this, keep going on, taking over others, building more islands. I could see an issue of, especially with Japan, because there's several islands that are claimed by Japan that Japan, that China has tried to say is ours. I could see somebody, cooler heads not prevailing, and starting with a small incident, as they usually do, an active shooting war occur in that area, small scale. But the problem is, a lot of bigger countries, us and Japan being an example, mm-hmm. have military defense agreements, which means if a Chinese Navy boat decides to take a shot at something from Japan, and Japan shoots back, and they get into a small-scale regional war, we're getting called in on the side of Japan. We will have to honor that treaty agreement. China's got some of their own. So that might happen. Or say, you know, Japan and Philippines get into a small thing. Well, if they have this, Philippines will call on China, say, hey, help us out here, etc. You see how this, it's like World War One. It's also partially like World War Two, where just all these treaties and everything else just feed off one another until we have this massive conflict all centered out there, started by a bunch of small things because of one guy or one small country. It's a terrifying thing. I hope it doesn't happen, but the problem is I'm seeing with what Duterte is doing and seeing how other tensions are going in the world, I'm seeing it become a possibility. Whereas before, I would be like, it's just a fever dream. And that scares me.
The Philippines is kind of like a fever dream in many cases.
Didn't used to be.
No, it didn't used to be. But this guy, he's a real piece of work. And, yeah. You know, and so I brought up his picture for those of you in the live stream watching the video. Is right there underneath Stephen. yeah.
I'll take a moment of silence to remember that this guy was elected.
Yeah, I know there are numerous talking heads and people here who honestly were like, how in the hell did he get elected? He was literally calling for practically for war crimes against his own people, and that was one of his campaign promises, and yet he got elected.
And he's what? Doing it because he said exactly what he was going to do. There they are.
Yeah.
This is one of those be careful what you wish for kind of things.
Oh. I like the there are two tragedies in life. One is not getting what you want, and the other is getting it.
So true. So very true.
Yeah, again, pulling up the to give you an idea of some of the personality of this guy. Looking at the Wikipedia page for Rodrigo Duterte. Duterte stated at a rally in April 2016 that he shot a fellow student who had teased him about his racial origin while at San Beda Law School. Law College. The truth is, in quote, but the truth is, I'm used to shooting people. When we were about to graduate from San Beda, I shot a person. Duterte said that he shot the student in a corridor which led to his expulsion from the college.
That was it? Expelled?
The story was received with laughter and applause by the thousands of supporters at the rally. After the rally, Duterte told a reporter that the student survived the incident but refused to answer any further questions.
Didn't Trump say that he could shoot somebody in the face on Wall Street and get away with it?
Yeah.
To rousing applause?
Yeah.
Here we are.
I just suddenly had a flash of who Duterte actually reminds me of. It's not even necessarily so much. Because Trump, so far from what I've seen, is a lot of bluster but not actually action.
Yeah.
Duarte reminds me of Andrew Jackson. Who, for those people who don't know, Andrew Jackson, President of the United States. We know he liked to fight duels. We can confirm that he killed 12 people minimum in duels, and the number might be as high as 300.
Yeah, I think.
But that's also only the official numbers. There's also things of him doing other things, like, you know, nearly beating a man to death with essentially a shillelagh, because he dishonored a woman. It dishonored a woman's reputation, even though this woman was literally a whore. And he was upset that she was being called a whore. That level of just, no, I'm going to do what I want, I don't care, is what I see of this man. And it again, Trump with actual capability. And that's what scares me.
That is frightening. And again, with followers that would be, you know, perfectly happy with what he's doing. Of course, I wonder.
It's just the idea of... Go ahead.
Well, I just wonder if he'll be reelected.
Probably. I mean, again, crime's gone way down in this country. He's been a success to the people who matter as far as he's concerned.
But he's terrifying the other people.
Yeah.
That's reason for them not to vote.
But voter suppression in countries like that is a lot easier to pull off.
Yep.
And voter intimidation is a lot easier to pull off.
They've already got the death squads.
That's true.
They can simply be retasked.
They already have the death squads. Well.
Yeah, for people that are out there thinking, again, the mainstream media, as the name is used, always focuses on things, the sexy stuff, what's going on in Syria, all the bombing and all the stuff there.
Not that that's sexy.
Pay attention to
get the idea.
Yeah. Pay attention to other parts of the world, because what's going on there might actually matter more in the long run.
Or at least as much. Absolutely as much. Really. Okay.
Yeah, going to take a while to process all that.
Yeah, that's going to wrap show A. So we'll be back with show B here in just a minute.
We're so screwed.
We are, so.
The world is so screwed.
Shh, they'll hear you.